In the blue mic, brother, and the one in front of the TV will be the yellow. I stole Sister Karen's. Give Brother Mark your undivided attention. Do you need those handed out now or later? Now?
Guys have been in the men's breakfast and seen some of the cards that this represents. It's a training course on evangelism. So we're supposed to go out among the byways and drag people into church, right? I'm not. I'm a techie. I don't know how to hold a mic. You're supposed to plant a seed, and God will provide the growth of that seed. It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be never. But this is one of the things that I tell people. I found out this statistic that if you talk to unchurched people, that there are 82% of them that would come to church if somebody asked them. So that's 82 out of 100 people that would be here. And you don't have to ask them, you don't have to ask hundreds of people. If you ask one person, you added to the pool. This course was divided, it was distributed by North American Missions Board. It's a Baptist pastor down in Georgia that came up with this course, and you'll see him on the video today. But before we get started with that, index cards and pens. On the first line, write your name. On the second line, what you do. If you're employed, if you're retired, whatever you do. The third line, what is your greatest fear? And the fourth line, what do you expect to get from this class? Now you guys are going to be presenting these cards, so be kind of brief because we've got a lot of people here. Things that they tell you is this: an evangelism training is not a Bible study. So you still have to do your Bible study tonight too, by yourself, but you still should be doing that. It could be one word or it could be a phrase. Yes. It's a class on evangelism. Yeah. That's what.
How long we get?
Three weeks of evangelism. this is basically an introduction. It tells me if you know what the class is, what to expect from it. If you don't know what the class is, what you think you might want to expect from it. Now the books that I have passed out, if you open them up, if you're done, you open them up, there are blanks there to fill in. And it's the answers are going to be on the video. I'll also tell you, even with evangelism without prayer is not really evangelism, because you should pray about what you're going to do and pray how it's going to conduct the way that you do it. When I was in Jamaica last week, I was a little embarrassed because they did something that I probably should have done and didn't. We were having our last dinner before we flew back, and the entire crew was there, and I'm walking out of the restaurant with the pastor from the Eastern Road Church of God, and there's a security guard there, and he beat me to talking to her, and the first word he says, he asked her, "Do you know Jesus?" I heard the first time this response, "Not yet." So I'm praying for him as he's talking to her. But why didn't I talk to her? Okay, is everybody done? David? And start at the back and work forward. How's that? Just tell me what you've written on your card. That would help.
Oh, you go. All right, so my name is Nikki. I'm a school liaison, and my greatest fear, I think, is just maybe failure in every aspect. And I think from this course, I put in here like how to incorporate this and planting the seed into the kids that I work with, and I don't know how to say this, without getting in trouble, but because it's a public school, so I want to be able to plant that seed because there's a lot of it that needs planted.
I thought we were starting at the back, but okay. My name is Brianne, and I'm a teacher, and I'm afraid of water. And I like Nikki's answer because I work in a school too, so I'm that one.
Okay, I'm Crystal, and I work with individuals with disabilities, and my greatest fear is leaving my kids on this earth without me. And what I expect to gain from this class is knowledge on better methods to win souls to Christ and invite people to church.
My name is Jeff Heldenbrand. I'm retired. My biggest fear is not being able to have my kids know what's going on as far as with God and stuff in their hearts and stuff. And then I put learn how to open up more to others to tell them about God and more tools to use.
Great.
My name's Paul. I'm an estimator. My greatest fear is irrelevance, and I have no expectations.
My name is Trisha. I'm a homemaker. My greatest fear, I guess, it was really hard for me to narrow down, is possible negative future events that I can't control, like what impact they have on my family, you know? And a new, what I'm hoping to get is a new skill / a new approach.
My name's Heather. I also work with individuals with disabilities. I guess my greatest fear is my kids growing up and either walking away from God or walking away from their family and not wanting anything to do with us. My expectations for this class is maybe to learn about different evangelism and how it will better my relationship with God and other people.
Hello, I'm Joe. I work in a factory. I'm afraid of heights. Get more closer to God.
My name's Linda, and I'm the clerk of the church, and I clean the church. My worst fear is when somebody gives a message or something, and I'm afraid to speak up because I'm afraid. Well, that's when the devil steps in and says, well, you're not going to have the right. And then I get the fear that it's not going to be, you know, what it should be. Just learning more about the ministry and being bolder, more knowledge in the ministry.
Okay. Do we have to do this? Yes, you do. I'm Deborah Cutlip. I work at Hands of Grace, and my worst fear is gaining my weight back and a closer walk with God is what I expect to get.
I'm Alan, and I went from being retired to work part-time, and the biggest fear I can is people shutting me down. People know I'm a Christian. I mean, there's a fellow at work, he knows I am, and he says, I don't want to hear it. And what I'm helping to get, and I mean, you can put a whole, I just put one word, help, which I'm looking to get that, not in a negative way, help me just to get help.
Hi, I'm Misty, and I walk part-time at Taco Bell, and my greatest fear is actually heights. I'm afraid if I get too close of the edge, I would fall or something, and I would never be here again. And one thing is to just want about this, I guess.
My name's Richard. I'm a website designer / helper. And my greatest fear is my kids, the ones who aren't saved, of being left behind, and what I expect is how to speak with people outside the church about leading them to Jesus and being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
My name's Candy, and I'm retired. My fear is to lose my kids to, like, the devil. What I want to get out of this class is, like, how to talk to people about God.
My My name is Karen. I'm retired, plus I work at the church and do whatever someone don't do or can't do or is not here. My greatest fear, I would say, probably would be rejection. And then the other one would be what to do to expect to get from this class. And the only thing I'm expecting to do is just to be, I'm not afraid to tell anybody anything, but just to be more bolder, to approach people with boldness.
Pastor Tracy, and of course I'm pastor. Mine also is the fear of rejection. And the greatest thing that I expect out of this class is to reinforce the need of evangelism and motivation for evangelism. In other words, soul winning.
My name is David. I work at Linway. My deepest fear is losing myself in the devil. And what I want to learn from this class is learn more about God.
You should have started with me, but we'll end with me. I'm Mark. I'm retired, but I haven't quit working. My greatest fear used to be talking in front of people. But I think God gave me a little over that. I noticed that out of all the greatest fears, the one that I didn't hear was going to hell. I says, yeah. The other one is, a lot of people are afraid to talk in front of a microphone. You have to talk. You have to be able to talk in order to communicate, and that's how you get other people involved with Christ. You don't have to drag them. You don't have to beat them over the head. You don't have to yell at them. You don't have to preach to them. You just have to drop that seed, and that's what this program is about. So from now on, we'll go into the, what do I expect to get from this class? I expect you guys to be able to bring more people to the kingdom. Because by giving you this class, if you talk to somebody and they come to the kingdom, I get credit for it too. So yeah, it's not just, it's not, I'm not crazy about jumping in front of people, but I do it whenever God wants it. And this course is you know, I read this course when I first got it, and I didn't think that. I looked at it, and then I watched the videos. I go, it makes sense. Because we're trying to get people into the kingdom. And one thing that scares me, not scares me, but makes me concerned, says, what if you don't talk to somebody and they go to hell? And they're in hell and they're saying, if Mark had only talked to me. I says, that bothers me a lot. That's one of my greatest fears now. So we've got like 26 minutes with the video, and I'm going to sit down while we do it, and I'll be back at the end.
To the best news, a three-week evangelism training designed to equip and empower you and me to share the gospel with our friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers. I'm James Merritt, pastor of Crosspoint Church, and I'm excited to guide you on this evangelism journey. The first question that any evangelism training must answer is, why should we share the gospel anyway? Think about it. Of the 6 billion people on our planet, there are more than 1 billion Muslims, 650 million Hindus, 300 million Buddhists. In my own neighborhood this week, driving to church, I drove by a home in my neighborhood, cars parked everywhere, didn't know what was going on. They were having a Buddhist funeral in the home. More than 200 million followers of Chinese folk religions. Only about 25% of the world's population would even claim to be Christians. In fact, most likely the real number of followers is probably much less. So who would it be telling the majority of the rest of the world that they're lost and they're wrong? Why don't we just let everybody believe whatever they want and trust it'll all work out in the end? Well, the answer is simple. True Christians can't just let other people believe what they believe and think they're right, because Christians believe that everyone must believe the gospel in order to have a relationship with God and experience eternal life. Now, if you believe that statement is true, welcome to being a part of a very small minority. If you do a Google search for religious beliefs, you ready for this? There are 37,177 different religious beliefs in the world. Right outside your door, there are people like Tommy Tolerance and Danny Diversity. They'll say, hey, every one of these beliefs are equally valid and they all lead to God. They just take different paths. The opinion that Jesus is just one way among many is not only a very popular concept, it is the most popular concept. Just listen to the following people. John Lennon said, I believe that what Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong. Mahatma Gandhi said, all paths leading to God are equally good. The fantastic great philosopher Homer Simpson said, I'm going to die. Jesus, Allah, Buddha, I love you all. And then, of course, you can't leave out Oprah Winfrey. One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there's only one way. In fact, there are many diverse paths leading to God. The belief that the world's religions are just different paths up the same mountain is an increasingly common view. In fact, if you're honest with yourself, I'll bet you some of you might admit you're sympathetic to this view also. There are many people who claim to be Bible-believing, Christ-following evangelicals who say they believe just Jesus is one way to God, even a good way to God, maybe even the best way to God. But deep down they think, or maybe even hope, Jesus is not the only way to God. Now, why would I make such an assumption? Well, consider this. Among all the countries in the world that practice freedom of religion, we live in America in the most religious country. Two-thirds of Americans consider religion to be very important in their lives. But 75% of them believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. Listen to this. Only 18% believe that they practice the one true faith. Here's the real shocker. Nearly 50%, one out of two, of the most strongly committed evangelical Protestants believe that their faith is not the only path to salvation. There's a rising cry that to believe there's only one way to God is not only difficult to accept and deceitful to hold, it's even dangerous to espouse. This is what one American theologian said. He said, I have come to believe that this exclusiveness tendency in my own faith tradition and in other faith traditions is a serious barrier to genuine peacemaking in a world of religious pluralism. For Christianity, the claim that salvation is possible only in Jesus Christ is, in the end, dismissive of other religious traditions and inherently divisive. If Christians are to be instruments of the peace of God, we must develop a new Christian theology of religions that will enable us to see God's revelation in Jesus Christ while at the same time rejecting any claim to exclusivism. Why does this matter? Why should I get a little bit worked up right now about what this theologian said? Because before you decide to take the plunge and you start sharing the best news the world has ever known, you have to decide if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, or if you agree with Gandhi and Oprah and Homer and many others today who believe that many paths are equally valid. Because if they're right, the gospel is not worth sharing. Matter of fact, it's not even that great after all. But if they're wrong, then the good news of Jesus is not just good news. It is the best news ever. And you and I should be motivated to share it unashamedly. Now, wonderful for us, we're so blessed, the decision is easy because of a single statement that Jesus himself made in John 14:6. It is my life verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the first Bible verse I memorized as a boy. And I don't have to tell you to Today, that one statement raises more blood pressures, it angers more people, it causes more controversy than anything else that Jesus ever said. And it flies in the face of what the vast majority of people, people you live next door to, people that you're related to, people you work with, both in this country and around the world, believe. But when you think about it, I'm not making any exclusive claims. You're not making them. We're not making them. The one that is making that claim, that bold, audacious, dogmatic, exclusive, in your face, uncompromising, unbending, unapologetic statement, is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus said in effect was this: you have exactly a zero chance of getting to God if you don't go through me. It's not that you have a little chance. It's not that you have some chance. You have no chance. Zero. Zip. Nada. Nothing. But you must believe that Jesus was telling the truth and that he is the only way to God if you're even going to continue this evangelism training. Let me tell you why. You'll never become excited to share the gospel's message until you become sure of the exclusivity of the gospel's message. Now, what do I mean by the exclusivity of the gospel message? Let me make it really simple by breaking it down into three statements. Two are negative, one is positive. Now, here's the first statement. Religion is not the way to God. Religion is not the way to God. When you begin starting gospel conversations with those around you, you're going to certainly encounter people who will say, practicing religion is what really matters. Which religion you choose is up to you. One of those consistent threads that runs through through most major religions is their religion is the way to God. In fact, this is one of the two predominant worldviews that dominate 21st century thinking about God and how to get to him. Beyond that, it's not just religion that gets you to God. It's this thinking out there more and more that any religion will do. Just pick one. Bill O'Reilly, the former Fox News television host, would famously say when you enter in his venue, you would come into the no-spin zone. But he violated his own rule a few years back when he made this comment. I have found that any remark I make about religion is likely to make some viewers steaming mad, and the fundamentalists really hate it when I say something like this. The most important thing I could say about religion is that it is a good thing for all of us to have. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Well, that statement is only true if all religions are basically the same. But not only is that not true, it's actually an insult to all other religions. I mean, what if I said, hey, Nazism, fascism, communism, they're all the same political philosophies like democracy. That would be an insult to all of them. Well, even worse, it's an insult to Jesus. Because if all that is necessary to get to God is just practice religion, regardless of what that religion is, then how do you explain the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus to begin with? Why would you bother? Why would he bother? With all respect, Good Friday becomes Dumb Friday. I mean, why would a loving God allow his son to take on the sins of the world when it wasn't even necessary? It is exactly because Jesus did die for the sins of the world and was raised from the dead that we know that religion is not the way to God. Here's the second statement. Righteousness is not the way to God. I told you there are two predominant worldviews in the 21st century of how to get to God. One way is religion, right? But the other way is righteousness. Just by being a good person, doing the best that you can, you're okay, God's okay. I've asked literally thousands of people this question. If you were to stand before God, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? The vast majority of responses go something like this. Well, I try to keep his commandments. Or I've always tried to fill in the blank. Or I've never fill in the blank. Or, well, I try to live a good life. See, every other religion in the world is based on some system of personal righteousness. Every other religion in the world is what I call a Home Depot religion. You know what I mean by that? People that go to Home Depot, they're what I call do-it-yourself people, right? Well, every other religion in the world is a do-it-yourself religion. They'll tell you that there are certain things you've got to do to get into God's good favor, whether it's using a prayer wheel, going on a pilgrimage, giving alms to the poor, avoiding eating certain foods, performing a number of good deeds, praying in a certain way, or going through a cycle of reincarnation. Every religion is a do-it-yourself religion.
But Jesus didn't say goodness is the way to God. He didn't say kindness is the way to God. He didn't say charity is the way to God. He said, I am the way to God. And that leads us to the third truth, which is a relationship is the only way to God. Comedian Stephen Colbert once said, though I am a committed Christian, I believe everyone has the right to their own religion, be you Hindu, Jewish, or Muslim. And I believe that, by the way. I believe there are infinite paths to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That I don't believe. Mr. Colbert's just dead wrong. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus. Listen to the last part of Jesus' statement in John 14:6. No one, I think that means no one. That means not a pastor, not the Pope, not a religion professor. No one comes to the Father except through me. If that is true, then all roads don't lead to God because all roads don't go through Jesus. This is what makes Jesus different from every other spiritual figure who ever lived. See, Jesus didn't just say, come to me and I'll show you the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't just say, come to me and I'll tell you the truth. He said, I'm the truth. He didn't just say, come to me and I'll give you life. He said, I am the life. A few years back, my wife and I took a trip out to San Francisco. And while we were there, we made sure to drive down Lombard Street. There's a beautiful street. You may have seen it in movies. It's the most photographed street in America. It's the most famous street in America. And amazingly, it's only one block long. And yet tourists come from all over the world and rent a car just to drive on this street. And it is an amazing street to behold. As a matter of fact, the hill is so steep, it would be too dangerous for most vehicles to travel in both directions. So between 1922 and 1923, this part of Lombard Street was transformed into a switchback with 8 sharp turns. You can only drive downhill and you can only drive east. Now what's amazing to me is that the most famous street in our country is a one-way street. People love to drive it. And you know what? Nobody complains you can only go one way. But they know that everything about this street is designed to get them safely and efficiently to their desired destination. This is a lot like the way that Jesus talked about the road to get to God. But unlike Lombard Street, this is a popular street. The street I'm talking about is the most unpopular one-way street in the world. And it's unpopular for two reasons: where it leads and who it's named after. It is claimed that this street is the only one that leads to God. And the name of the street is Jesus Christ. This street is no respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter if you're a peasant or the Pope or the President. You must take this road to get to God. Your job is simple: to point people in the right direction. The way to God is a one-way street. And if you're on any other street, you're on the wrong street. It also means that not everybody's going to wind up in the same place. Look, I get it. It may not be politically correct to say, but it's still true. If you're lost, Jesus is the only way to God. If you're confused, Jesus is the only truth of God. If you're hopeless, Jesus is the only life from God. The way to heaven is not a path, not a philosophy, not a practice. It is a person, and Jesus is that person. The only way to God is a one-way street that dead ends at Jesus. And that's why we should all be motivated to share the best news the world has ever heard with a world that's waiting to hear it. Thanks for watching. Let's go out and share that gospel, the best news, and we'll see you next week.
I have been listening to James Merritt for a while. I find that he is very, very interesting. He's very, very truthful in what he says, and he doesn't say anything that doesn't make sense. One thing to remember, though, with evangelism, prayer's important. Because in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So you have to pray to evangelize. So what I'm going to ask you to do at this point is to pair up in groups of two. And I want you to pray for four people that you know. One in each of the following categories: family, friend, neighbor, and coworker. So if you guys can pair up, and we'll do that. In order for you to be able to evangelize somebody, you have to pray about it, because you can't convert anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But he's not going to do it if you don't pray. And probably one of the things you should pray for is to ask God to bring people in front of you, across your path, so that you can talk to them. The next thing we're going to do is what's called newscasting. And I'm not going to make you read these. That's why I had told you to keep your cards for. On the back of your card, I want you to write something down. I gave you about 5 minutes to do it. There's three things. And you don't have to be really verbose and write it down. But there are three things. The first one is, what was your life like before Christ? I know what mine was. So, how did you feel or experience lostness or estrangement from God before you ever met him? The second thing will be, what transformative encounter did you have that brought you to Christ? What was said or done that finally changed your heart to come to church and to give your heart to God? The third one is, what is your life like now? How is your life different as a result of knowing Christ and believing the gospel? What is your life like now? How did your life different? It's different because of God. Is what transformative encounter brought you to Christ? This is an interesting program because it gets you to think about what you were like before and what you like now and what caused it. And I'm not going to collect these. These are for you guys to keep, to think about. While you're doing that, I'm going to go into one verse, and I'm going to ask you guys to memorize this verse this week and to post it somewhere where you can see it. It's John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I want you guys to think about this all week for next week. can write it down on a piece of paper and put it where you can see it. Or if you have driver's markers, you can write it on the mirror in your bathroom. Because everybody goes to the mirror in the bathroom. Okay, today was the instruction, or the introduction. Next week will be week two, which is explanation. So when you come back next week, bring your books with you. If you need pens, bring the pens with you. These courses take about an hour each week, and we'll go from there. Next week will be a little bit longer than today, but today was just an introduction. It's you guys getting to know each other, and me getting to know you, and you guys.